Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Satan uses demons to influence and indwell people, leaving behind a trail of destructive choices and actions. The victims of these actions are then left with pasts that are hard to deal with. Today, how God can turn victims into victors. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we conclude Pastor Lutzer's three-part series on Let God Redeem Your Story. Now, Pastor Lutzer comes to wrap up part three.
When I ask you to come forward in a few moments, we don't have any counselors here. We only have prayer partners who want to listen to your story and encourage you with their prayers and to point you to Jesus, because we don't know the answer, but we're convinced that Jesus does. Second, the cleansing of Jesus. So what's going on here in the text? Here's a man who is cutting himself with stones. Here's a man who feels that sense of unworthiness. God doesn't love me. Nobody else loves me. There's no hope for me. I'm bound here by these evil spirits, and I'm going to die this way. How does Jesus get people out of a pit like that? The answer, of course, is that Jesus Christ's death on the cross, his shed blood, is the answer to your sense of self-condemnation and your overwhelming feeling of guilt and sin. Revelation chapter 12, it says that there was war in heaven and God threw Satan to the earth. I think that that happens during the middle of the Great Tribulation period. There's evidence that that's the time that it happens. You say, well, does Satan have access to God today? Yes, I think so, just like he did in the book of Job. And after he's thrown to the earth, we hear the words out of heaven, the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down to the earth. The one who accuses believers day and night before the throne of God. Do you realize, my friend, that a secret sin on earth is an open scandal in heaven? Do you realize that? You sin and Satan's there saying, okay, God, look at what he's done. He's a Christian, right? Look at what he's done. Are you telling me that you can continue to love this person and not impugn your justice? And by the way, don't you think that this has stretched your grace more than it ought to be stretched? Look at what that believer is doing. So 24/7, and we are feeding him ammunition, and he is standing before the throne, and he's even saying things about us that are true, and he's accusing us 24/7, and he accuses us 24/7. Not just with words, but with feelings. So the question is, how do you handle it? The text says they overcame him by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. So what does the blood of the Lamb have to do with the victory? The blood of the Lamb has an awful lot to do with the victory, my friend. Because you see, Satan comes to us and says, judge him, judge him, judge him, condemn him, condemn him. And Jesus is there before the throne, reminding the Father, who really doesn't need to be reminded, they've already been judged. Their forgiveness has already been secured. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who's he that condemns? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is raised again and is even now on the right hand of the throne of God, who makes intercession for us. This morning we sang these lovely words. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. They overcame him by the word of the testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Now there's something else I have to share with you. And that is the restoration of Jesus. And this leads me back into the text. Notice how this story ends. Yes, the man is clothed and in his right mind, and Jesus gets into the boat to go to the other side. By the way, Jesus did that because he actually came for this man. He came across the sea because he knew that man was there. You know, Jesus comes to you too. You may be here today and not realizing it, but Jesus is approaching you right now. He's coming for you to deliver you. But notice it says that Jesus gets into the boat and goes, verse 19. Well, let's begin at verse 17. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region, and he, Jesus, was getting into the boat. The man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. He's saying, Jesus, let me come with you, let me come with you, let me come with you. But Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Jesus said, I have an assignment for you. The Decapolis are the 10 cities which were in the Transjordan area. And he's beginning to go and to tell everybody about his deliverance. You know, when Jesus begins to bring you into freedom, you stop asking the question, why? If you just stay there asking the question, why, you will always be stuck on why did this happen to me? But when Jesus begins to bring deliverance, what happens is he has another question now, and it is the question, what? What can I do with my past so that God can redeem it completely? And how can God use me to bless the lives of others? That's an important question for you to ask. Because obviously God intends for this to bless you and to make something out of what otherwise is a huge tragedy. And this man understood that. And I can see him going from being a victim to being a victor and saying to himself, I cannot stay in my past. I can find out how God is going to use me in my future. And God loves to restore. He loves to use people. He loves to redeem their histories and their stories. And God can do that too. And he can use you in ways, despite your past, he can use you in ways that you never dreamed possible. Now you may say, well, Pastor Lutzer, why is it that some stories are never redeemed? I don't have all the answers to that question. But I know that there are some Christians whose story is not redeemed, and I think I can speak to that. It's because they keep giving Satan authority in their lives. He doesn't have authority, but people are handing it to them. And the way we hand it to him is by retaining a love for sin and hanging on to our sins and saying, I will not give these up. And that enables Satan to continue to do his business. Oh, of course, even after we confess our sins, we're still attacked. We as elders today prayed for a couple that seemed to be under attack, just in every way. But we are not thereby defeated, because we know what to believe, and we go on believing with endurance, and we resist him. You see, there are many people, I'm convinced, who don't want God to redeem their story. What they want is vengeance. That's what they really want. Vengeance against those who hurt them, vengeance against their mates, against their parents, against all the people who have done them in. And they want vengeance. Listen, if you want vengeance, you've closed off your life to God redeeming your story. You'll simply be stuck in your past. But if you are willing to say, God, redeem my story in whatever way you wish to redeem it, and use me in whatever way you wish to use me for your glory, I think then the grace of God begins to move in and begins to bring a sense of cleansing and hopefulness and usefulness to God. And so I have to ask you today, are you willing to let God really redeem your story? Well, I'm not talking about being inhabited by demons, though that's not beyond the realm of possibility either. I'm talking about those deep deep-seated feelings that you have lived with that do not honor God, that deny that He loves you, that deny that you are forgiven, that deny that you are God's precious child, all of those things intended by the devil to cut us off from God's love, to make us think that God hates us, He doesn't love us. And when you believe those lies, you're stuck in your past. Here's the way we're going to do it. In a moment, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to stand here, like I did a couple of weeks ago, right at the end here of this aisle. If God has talked to you, I want you to come, and then we're going to gather in a room again. I'm going to give you a little bit of instruction about rebuking Satan from the book of James. And then what we're going to do is to have you pray on your own, and then before you leave, you pray with a prayer partner. The prayer partners won't come forward until I ask them to, except members of the pastoral staff and Mary, if you'd be here just guiding the people, because I don't know whether or not anyone will come. So we don't know whether we need the prayer partners or not. This is all in God's hands. But if you do, we want someone to pray with you before you leave today and to give you hope. And as I say, they are not counselors. They are only prayer partners, convinced that if they can help you get to Jesus in prayer, you'll be helped on your journey. Oh, maybe not totally delivered, but the path will have been laid out for you. We don't know much about these things, but we do believe in Jesus, and we think that He really does help people. Father, I pray that you might, during these moments, help all of us to know how we should respond. And grant your grace to us, Lord. I have no idea what people are bringing to this service today. I have no idea what the people who are listening on the internet have going on in their lives. But Jesus, you know us thoroughly, and we only ask that you'll make us obedient to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And by the way, this is Pastor Lutzer. When I gave that invitation here at the Moody Church, many people came forward. We discovered that some people were in the occult. Other people were dealing with family issues, reoccurring addictions, struggles with demonic spirits, very clearly, hearing voices, voices of condemnation. But we took all of that and we brought it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, today, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. You come to Jesus as you are. Come to Him in your need, but trust His victory as being yours, and become a part of a fellowship that is able to help you. Because together we can stand against the wiles of the devil with the shield of faith and with other believers. This actually is the last of a series of messages titled, Let God Redeem Your Story. Stay tuned now, because you can find out how these messages can be yours.
This series of messages may be life-changing for those caught in the grip of shame. Let God Redeem Your Story can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For information, call us toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you call or write, ask about Let God Redeem Your Story. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.